right. Turn, if you will, to Malachi chapter number 2. Thank God for that good song. Amen. And I never hear that song, I don't think about the gospel hour. Amen. That's just their song. Amen. And they, through the years, that has introduced that program, and that's been a blessing. Amen. Malachi chapter number 2, verse number 17. Again, thank you, brother. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Turn now to chapter 4 and verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Praise God. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege, again, to be in the house of God. I thank you for strength and health. Lord, I thank you for the desire, Lord, for the fact that you've given us the open door and the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for those that are able to be with us tonight. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless them. And, Lord, you'd help us to get something from the Word of God that might be more than just words, Lord, that it might be a nugget for our soul, that it might be bread for our hungering spirit, Lord, that it might feed us, we could feast and enjoy fellowship with our Lord. Father, I pray you'd draw sinners, Lord, that you'd bring them to a place of faith and repentance, that they too might know the Lord as we know him, and that they might be saved. And Lord, I pray that you'd deal with the saved, that we'd serve you and live for you and glorify you. I pray for those that are not able to be here tonight, Lord, that you'd comfort and strengthen and help them in their need and meet their need, Lord, and get the glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Well, you know that we're looking, I took my text from verse number 17 of chapter 2, and our title for this whole series has been, Where is the God of Judgment? And been really, the emphasis of the book of Malachi, is that God is the God of judgment, and He's going to show up one day and deal out the judgment or dole out the judgment as is needed. Amen. And as we begin our study tonight, I want to remind you that we're in that section that deals with the coming of the Lord and with the fact that He's going to deal in judgment with the sinners, but He's going to deal in justice with the saints. Amen. He's going to bring justice to the saints. And I mentioned to you that there are 5 points in this last part in dealing justice to the saints. In verse number 16, we have the fact that they will be remembered. In verse number 17, I'm talking about chapter 3 now. Verse 16, you got, they will be remembered. Chapter 3, verse 17, they will be rewarded. Verse number 18, as we preached on this morning, they will be recognized. And then in the 3 verses that I read tonight, verse 1 through 3 of chapter 4, I call it, they will be rescued. And then the last one, verses 4 through 6, we'll see, they will be revived. Now, I'm not going to cover this whole point that I'm on tonight. I'm not going to cover these 3 verses. I'm going to try to deal with the first verse if I can and give you what's on my heart and what I think might be a help to us in this area. Since we've covered already the first 3 points, I don't feel like I need to go over them again, but I just need to mention them here. But as we move into this 4th promise here, they will be rescued. I want to remind you that in these breakdowns that we're talking about how God's going to deal with the saved. I've been talking about the judgment on the sinner, and verse number 1 of chapter 4 deals with that fact. It deals with the judgment upon the sinner. But the picture of it, God dealing in judgment on them, is to show us the blessedness of being rescued from such judgment.
And so as we look at that, we're not looking upon them and saying, well, they're getting what they deserve. We're looking upon them and saying, they're getting what we deserve. But by the grace of God, we're not getting that. Amen. By the mercies of God, we're not getting that. And so I'd like to mention also that in the chapter and verse breakdowns in our Bible are not part of the inspired text. These were done years later after the text was already given. And I read that especially in the Hebrew Bible, I know that in the originals, Hebrew and Greek, that in none of those there were any chapter and verse breakdowns. But in the Hebrew Bible, even modern day, there is no fourth chapter of the book of Malachi. Chapter 3 has 24 verses in their version, in the Hebrew version. And so they just have three chapters, but the same number of verses, the same number of words. But the reason I'm commenting on that is because if we're not careful, we go to chapter 4, we think we're in a whole different area. But chapter 4 is just a continuation of chapter number 3. And the thought is still in there, in that God is speaking to His saved, those that have been saved by the grace of God are serving Him, and they're His people. And He's talking to them about how that He is going to deal in justice with them and bring justice their way. And He's reminding us that we will be rescued in the day of punishment. Amen. And so having said that, we'll look at this verse, verse number 18, and read from forward from there of chapter number 3, then you'll see how they go together. Let's start with verse 18 again. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not, for behold, the day cometh. So you see how that ties right together? It's just a continuation of the thought. The day is coming, is what he's saying. There's coming a separating day. There's coming a dividing line. And God said, I want to remind you that day may not have come yet, but it is coming. And we'll take like what the book of Hebrews said, yet he that shall come will come and shall not tarry. I'm telling you, that day that shall come will come and it shall not tarry. Now the world will argue and the world will scoff and they say, we've heard that since we were little children. We've heard that all our life. But the fact is, he is coming. Amen. And time is running out. I don't know how close it is. I don't see how it can be very far. Amen. I don't know how the world can stand much longer in the shape that it's in. Amen. But I'm telling you that Jesus is coming no matter what the scoffers say. Amen. And judgment is coming no matter what the scoffers say. Well, when Christ sits on that great white throne of judgment and judges the world, He will condemn the wicked and He will confirm the righteous. Amen. There's two sides of a judgment bar. There's a side that's being judged, and there's a side that's behind that's doing the judging. And when Jesus sits on the great white throne, we will be with Him. The Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. When the Lord comes and gathers us out, we go to glory. We're with Him there those 7 years during the tribulation period. We're with Him in the millennial reign. And in that judgment day, when He sums it all up, we'll still be with Him. But we'll not be standing in the judgment. Rather, we'll be with Him, I believe, as witnesses that we can say, you had the same chance that I had. You heard the same gospel that I heard, and yet God saved me. Why didn't you get saved? Will be part of our testimony and our witness on that day. But when we see that the judgment so violently falling on the ungodly and the unrighteous, and we see our safety and our comfort of the righteous, we'll rejoice. And as one song said, then we'll be glad we live for Jesus. Amen. Amen. When we notice how terrible that day for the wicked will be, we must rejoice that we're saved. Amen. We'll rejoice that we're saved because, my text says, they will be rescued. Amen. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Look at verse 1 and we'll deal with that tonight by the help of the Lord. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Amen. And all the proud, yea, and all the wicked shall be stubble. Oh, me. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, I want to think on the solemnity of that. I want to think how serious that statement is. If we're not careful, sometimes we'll sit on this side of Calvary. I'm talking about being saved, sitting under grace, sitting under the blessings of God. And we'll look out at the world and we'll think, boy, I can't wait till they get what's coming to them. And that's true. I mean, I'm glad God is going to come out on the top one of these days. Amen. I'm glad He's going to finish it up and the wicked's not going to win. They're going to lose. But when I sit on this side and recognize what the Scripture says, it makes me concerned because many of them are in the same boat I was in just some years ago. Amen. By the grace of God, I'm on this side now. I'm saved by the grace of God, but I don't never need to forget that one time I was out there where they are. At one time I didn't see it just like they don't see it. At one time I couldn't understand it. I couldn't comprehend it just like they couldn't. But somebody brought the gospel to me. And now it's my opportunity and it's my responsibility to take the gospel and share that gospel good news with them that they too might be saved. Amen. Now the sermon that Malachi has been preaching to the rebellious house of Israel has been warning them that judgment is coming. Now they call us doom and gloom preachers. These what they call fundamentalists. They say, you know, we're just all doom and gloom. Everything we think's bad. We're against everything. That's what they kept saying about Malachi, I'm sure. His sermon had the intent to warn the wicked to turn from his way. His sermon also had the intent to exhort the saint to continue on in the old paths. Amen. And that's what I talked about a little bit this morning and try to encourage you to do as well. We've seen that the rebellious house of Israel questioned God at every hand. Every time God complained about some sin in their life, they would say, "Wherein? Wherein?" And they would argue with God. And God was highly offended by their statements. Matter of fact, their statement was that it didn't pay to serve God, that the wicked were doing well, that the ungodly were the godly were suffering, and that the wicked were getting along real good, and yet those that were righteous were suffering under poverty and in need of things. And they were saying, God's not good to His people. I'm telling you, God is good to His people. Amen. And the wicked are not getting along good. We'll see that as we go along. They are saying God was actually blessing wickedness. Well, that's what they're saying today, isn't it? That's exactly what they're saying. They're saying, for example, they're saying, I'm an quote-unquote alcoholic and just as saved as you are. No, they're not. If they're drunkards, they're lost, according to the King James Bible. Amen. Matter of fact, I read one statistic. I heard Brother Lester Roloff say one time. He said statistics will prove that 11 out of 10 drunks are lost. You figure that out after a while. Amen. 11 out of 10. That means every one of them and then some. That's what it means. Amen. They're lost. Amen. And you can name a lot of things. The Sodomites, of course, they'll boast and say, you know, I'm saved. God made me this way and I'm saved. Listen, God never made a man a pervert. Amen. God never made a woman a pervert. God never made mistakes. Amen. Just keep driving that thing and say that it's right. It is right. God's not making mistakes. Sinners are not going to heaven unless they get washed from their sins. That's the Bible. Amen. And it could be any sin. It could be any sin, but they've got to be washed from their sins. And God had just, in our text, had just previously made a bold and dogmatic statement that the day was coming in which judgment was coming. They were going to see a division between them and those that were saved by the grace of God. They were going to see that division is vast, that it is expansive, that there's a lot of difference between the saved and the sinner. Amen. And God's showing them in this particular verse that God is going to bless the saints and He's going to blister the sinner. Amen. My dad used to say that when I was a boy. He'd say, boy, so me and my brother would say, boys, I'm going to blister your hide. I don't know if we ever actually had a blister or not, but I thought He's going to blister it a time or two. Amen. Amen. God's going to blister the sinner one day. Literally. But he's talking about the fire, and we'll get to that in just a moment. This declaration that Malachi is making here is to allow the righteous to recognize the beauty and the glory of God's mercy and the beauty and the glory of God's grace, that we could recognize how good God's been to us, that He would count us as His own servants and count us as His own sons. Amen. You see, the truth that God's going to rescue His people is wonderful in itself. Just the fact that He's going to rescue us. We're getting out of here. Just if we just got out and let the world go the way it wants to go, that'd be blessed. But that's not all there is to it. This world's headed to destruction. God's going to rescue us from destruction. Amen. God's going to rescue us and show us His mercy. Amen. When we look into the furnace, When we look into the flame of fire and recognize how hot it is, it ought to cause us even more to fall at His feet and worship Him that He delivered us from the flame and that He delivered us from the furnace and that He delivered us from our own self. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Well, let me give you three things about these three verses in the fact that we will be rescued. There's three things I noticed. Number one, there will be punishment for the sinner. That's in verse number one. Number two, there will be provision for the saint. And that's in verse number two. And then there's going to be promotion for the saints in verse number three. I want to look at this, the punishment for the sinner tonight. I know that you know about heaven and you know about hell. I know that you know about the judgment of God. And yet sometimes I think it would help us to sober up a little bit to hear it again. Amen. Just to recognize how bad that it is actually going to be. Now, in this verse that we're looking at, verse number 1 of chapter number 4, I want you to notice something. I'm going to read it again. I want you to notice something that is missing. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Something that stands out to me, very obvious, that is missing in that verse. You know what's missing? Me and you. The righteous are not mentioned in verse number 1. Now here's why it's amazing. You say, well, what's wrong with it? Why that? Because this text is in the context of Him talking to His people, how He's going to bless His people. And so what He's saying is, He's saying when the fire's roaring down here, you're going to be rejoicing in glory. But when you see the fire roaring, it ought to cause you to rejoice even more. Amen. And so I'm glad we're not there. There is a day coming. Notice that God is referencing a specific day. For behold, and underline, the day cometh. Amen. For behold, the day cometh. There is a day when God is going to judge the wicked. That is the day of the Lord. Amen. The day in which Christ comes in His power to destroy the powers of darkness. Amen. And to execute His righteous vengeance and wrath against the wicked of this world. That's the day He's talking about. It's a specific day. Now, this day is spoken of all through the Bible. It's addressed numerous times throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And tonight I'm going to have you turn your Bible and look at several different verses. And it's not going to be elaborate or extensive, but just show you a sampling, just a few of the times that it's mentioned. By the way, when we talk about this day of the Lord, I want to say this. That is the day the Jews looked for. They looked for a Messiah that would be a mighty Messiah that would deliver them from the powers of the heathen nations that surrounded them. They were not looking for a baby in a manger. They were not looking for a Savior on the cross. They were looking for a Messiah. By the way, that's what they're still looking for. That's why they'll fall for the Antichrist when He shows up. Amen. He's going to come and cause peace, and He's going to put down those for a little while, 3.5 years of peace and safety in Jerusalem, and have that temporary peace treaty. Then He'll break it, and boy, I'm telling you, God's going to pour out His wrath, and then we're coming back after those 7 years. But I'm saying that's the day that they were looking for. Now, these people that Malachi are preaching to are the same people that were the Pharisees that saw Christ but didn't recognize Christ and wanted no part of that kind of a Messiah. They wanted a Messiah that would deliver their nation, not a Messiah that would deal with their nature. They wanted a Messiah that would deliver them from their enemies without rather than the evil that was within. They didn't want to recognize their evil. They wanted to pull a cloak of religion over it. They wanted to say, because I'm a child of Abraham, I'm all right. And pull a cloak of religion over the evil that was within them and did not want to deal with their own heart. They did not want that kind of a Messiah. And so they rejected the Lord. Jesus was saying that day is coming. Amen. Now that day of Christ's second coming by the way, it's deliverance for Israel, is referenced repeatedly throughout God's dealings with Israel by the prophets. Matter of fact, there are dozens of verses talking about the second coming of Christ to rescue Israel. There are dozens of verses for every single verse that talk about Christ being born of a virgin or coming as the Savior of mankind. Amen. Here's a small sampling. If you'll turn back with me to Isaiah, we'll just start here with the prophets. Look back with me at Isaiah chapter number 25. And I'm just going to run through the Bible, show you a few of these in these prophecies. Isaiah chapter number 25 and verse number 9. Again, this is just a sampling of these verses. Isaiah 25 verse 9. And I'm looking at that phrase, that day, or in that day. I'm saying God's dealing with a specific day. Verse number 9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. The Jews are looking for the Lord, but they missed Him because they were looking for the wrong kind of Lord. Amen. They were looking for the wrong kind of deliverer and the wrong kind of Savior. And yet they were looking for, and they knew that was a day. There was a specific day coming. All right, Jeremiah chapter number 25. Turn forward just several pages. I don't know, 40, 50 pages maybe. Jeremiah chapter number 25. And verse number 33. And the slain of the Lord shall be, and here's my phrase, at that day, from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. God's talking about the judgment day, that day. All right, that day when Israel's saved, that day when judgment comes to the sinner. Turn to Ezekiel chapter number 39. I did try to put these in order as they come in the Scripture. That helps you as you're turning. Ezekiel chapter number 39 and verse number 22. Ezekiel 39 and verse 22. The Bible says, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God. And here's my phrase, from that day and forward. Hosea chapter number 1. Hosea chapter 1. Hosea is a smaller book, just about 12 chapters, I think. Chapter number 1, verse number 5. Hosea chapter 1, verse number 5. And it shall come to pass, and here's my phrase, at that day, that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Zephaniah chapter number 1. Headed towards the back. If you get to Zechariah, you've gone too far. You can hold your place there because we're going to look at Zechariah. But Zephaniah chapter number 1. Verse number 15. Starts off with that phrase. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Now, Zechariah chapter number 9. Zechariah chapter 9. And I'll stop there in looking at these Old Testament verses. We'll go back to Malachi after Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 16. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that God's speaking of a specific day, a particular, peculiar day in which He's going to bring judgment in our verse. All right, verse number 16, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 16. And the Lord their God shall save them, and here's my phrase, in that day. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of His people. For they shall be as the stones for a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon His land. Amen. Now in Malachi chapter number 4, the text that we started out with tonight, Malachi chapter 4, for behold, the day cometh. I'm simply saying God's got a specific day that He's dealing with that He's going to bring judgment. Second thing I want you to notice about this verse is not only that there's a day promised, that, by the way, that day is going to be a day of salvation, and it's going to be a day of separation, and it's going to be a day of sorrow and suffering on the ungodly. Amen. The saved. I'm talking about those that believe God are going to be saved. Israel's going to be saved. Amen. Those that have believed God are going to be saved. There's going to be separation between the believers and the unbelievers. There'll be suffering and sorrow for the unbelievers because it's a day of punishment. It's not only a specific day. To alliterate it, I say a peculiar day. A period, if you want to, a certain time. God's got a time period that He's going to do it. But He's also got a punishment that He's going to use. I want you to notice verse number 1 of chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. I underline that phrase. That shall burn as an oven. and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day and the day that cometh shall, here's my phrase, shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Amen. So that day shall burn as an oven, and they are going to be burned up. In other words, God is warning us that that day is going to be hot. You ever heard them talk about the heat of battle? Amen. That day is going to be a hot day. It's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a hot day, and a lot of people are going to get burned. Amen. They're going to get burned. That's the testimony of the prophets as well. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. We'll just look at some of these and make our way through the Bible again. Turn back to Psalms this time. Chapter number 21. And we'll look at about three Psalms and then look at some of the prophets. Psalm 21. Verse number 9. Psalm 21, verse number 9. I'm talking about the fire, the fiery oven, the burning that God's dealing with that's going to come. Verse number 9 of Psalm 21. The Bible says, "Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath, and the fire shall destroy them." So God's saying that day that He's coming in judgment is going to be a hot day. It's going to be a fiery, judgmental day. Look at chapter 79 and verse number 5. Still in Psalms. 79, verse number 5. Psalm 79, verse 5. "How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire?" See, the wrath of God is many times in the Bible likened unto fire. His eyes are flames of fire. His feet are like burning brass. The judgment of God, the being of God, our God is a consuming fire. That's what the book of Hebrews said, isn't it? You remember when the children of Israel were down at the bottom of the mountain and Moses was getting ready to go up and receive the commandments? At the time they didn't know Moses was going to go up. They thought God was going to come down, and the mountain burned and the mountain smoked and lightning ran along the earth, the Bible said. And they trembled and they said, "Don't let God come down among us, but you go up and talk with God and we'll obey what God says." But the thing is that they saw the burning of God and the judgment that was ran. And by the way, God was not angry at that moment. That was just the presence of God that had the flame and the fire, and it caused fear in the heart of those that had sin in their life. Amen. Psalm chapter number 97, verse number 3. Psalm chapter 97, verse number 3. He's talking about God's power. God reigneth. It talks in verse 1, but look at verse 3. "A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about." Amen. So he's talking about God has a fire in front of Him. God deals in judgment with fire. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. And by the way, the book of Isaiah probably uses the word fire. I didn't reckon it and count them up and see exactly. But I don't think I'd be stretching it all, exaggerating it all to say that the book of Isaiah probably mentions fire as judgment at least 24 times. Many of the other prophets mention it much more than that. Amen. But Isaiah says it a lot as well. Look at chapter number 9. And when we look at chapter 9, you probably know right off, chapter 9 is dealing with the Messiah. It's dealing with Christ. And I'll show you verse number 1 and 2. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first He lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Those two verses are talking about Jesus, that light that coming in darkness, and about in Galilee of the nations. Matter of fact, that is showing us, and it's used in Matthew. Matthew quotes this scripture as a reference to say that the Bible prophesied that Jesus would come out of Galilee. That's why it was in Nazareth of Galilee, Galilee of the nations. And so we see that these verses are talking about Jesus. Jump down to verse number 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born." Who is that? That's Jesus. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. of the increase of His government and peace there should be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there's no question. Isaiah chapter 9 is talking about the Messiah. Now, having said that, look down at verse 18 and 19. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened. And the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. He said on that day you won't be able to rescue anybody. On that day you won't be able to help anybody. That day when Jesus comes again in fiery judgment to execute judgment on sinners. That's the point that he's making. And so there, Israel did not see the division in the first coming and then the second coming. They could not see the church age or the days that we're living in. They didn't see that. All they saw was the coming of the Lord. But Malachi said that day is coming. Now it's not come yet. Been 2,000 years since his first coming. But it will come. Amen. It will come. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 21. I'm simply saying God's got a day marked. He's got a specific day, a peculiar day. But He's also got a punishment that He's dealing out. And that punishment's fire. Jeremiah chapter number 21. Verse number 12. O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment in the morning and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. Here's my phrase. Lest my fury go out like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Again, Jeremiah mentions fire dozens of times. Turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 22. Ezekiel chapter number 22. I'm giving you these verses not just to have you look at a lot of verses, but just to reinforce again and again, this is the Bible that is saying that God's going to judge on a peculiar day and God's going to judge in a specific manner. That punishment is going to be fire. All right. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 20 and 21. As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it to melt it, so will I gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my fury, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. Amen. So God's talking about a raging fire. Turn to the book of Nahum. This is one we've not looked at tonight. The book of Nahum. Chapter number 1 and verse number 6. By the way, I didn't mark my places either. That way I'd have to turn to it just like you do. I do have these verses in front of me, but I'm trying to read them to you from the Scriptures. But that way I'll give you time to get there before I read it. Amen. Nahum chapter number 1, verse number 6. Sounds a lot like the book of Malachi. He said, "Who can stand before His indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? The fury is, or His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him." So He's again dealing with fire. Turn to Zephaniah chapter number 1. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse number 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. I'm going to stop a minute. Some are still turning, but I won't say this while they're turning. Listen, God said you're not going to be able to rescue anybody when that day comes. And He says right here, you're not going to be able to buy your way out of it either. He says when that day comes, silver and gold is not going to mean a thing. Amen. Amen. Verse number 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the fire, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy, for He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. God said He's going to bring judgment, and that judgment's going to be the fire of His wrath. Now, back to Malachi, but we'll look at chapter 3, verse 2, a verse we've looked at already. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who may abide the day of His coming? Again, that just reflects again what Nahum said. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Turn to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. I've used these verses previously when I looked at Malachi 3, 2. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 10, 11, and 12. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. There's my word, fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. The same shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Look at verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, that's not talking about hell. Hell burns and burns and burns, but never burns up. This is talking about a natural body that is going to burn up in the judgment of God. Amen. Going to burn up. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We're going on deeper into the New Testament. And I'm almost finished having you turn for the moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Verse number 7 through verse number 10. I'm sorry, I'm 2 Thessalonians. I knew that didn't look right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. All right. Good thing I did turn and read that. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So He's there. Paul is summing up what Malachi said. He said, he uses the phrase, in that day. That's the end of it. He uses the idea about being glorified by His saints. His saints are seeing all this take place. But he also says Christ is coming, in verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on the ungodly. Turn now to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And here I got out of order because I'm going to be going back to the book of Hebrews. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Probably familiar verse to you. The Bible says, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So there's a day and there's fire. Two things he mentions. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27. Of course, we know Hebrews 10:25 talks about going to the house of God, not forsaking it. Verse 26 talks about willful sin. Verse 27 says what to look forward to. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Amen. Now, I hope that you're with me, you're following along and not just getting tired of this constant barrage. But what I'm trying to do is just hit us again and again and again with the statement that God's got a day plan. There is a day coming. And God's got a punishment plan. That punishment is coming and it's going to involve fire. Amen. These verses are just a sampling again of those available to show us that the anger of God is likened unto fire. Excuse me. And the judgment of God is compared to fire. Now, I do believe that this fire is symbolic. But I also believe that this fire is actual, literal fire. Just like I believe that the fires of hell are literal. Amen. I believe there's actual fire in hell. I know some people don't, but they'll learn better. Amen. They'll learn better because there is fire in hell. Amen. Just like the fire in hell is not only symbolic, but is actual. The fire of God's judgment is actual fire, and I believe it's going to come. Now, it's amazing to me. We were talking this morning about how nuclear weapons, and if you'll read some of these, the descriptions of the judgment on that day, people's eyes melting in their socket, their tongues melting out of their mouth, their flesh being consumed while they're standing, are very clear pictures of what happened when we dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki back in the 40s. You remember, you may not remember that, but you remember reading about that, about when that happened. You've probably seen pictures of that. And I don't know if God's going to use nuclear weapons or not. God don't need nuclear weapons. He can snap His fingers and make it happen, or He can say the word and make it happen. But I know that there's going to be a melting of the atoms, a melting of the elements, and a heat that's going to pervade over the earth and is going to destroy the wicked on that day. Amen. Now, fire is destructive. Fire is a powerful force. Amen. I know a little something about it. Amen. When a small fire gets unleashed, you know what unleashed means? Out of control is what it means. You don't have a leash on it. You don't have control of it. When a small fire gets unleashed and gets out of control, it can cause serious damage. It can cause irreparable damage and destruction. God's wrath has been bottled up. God's anger has been pent up. If you wanted to say, He's had it on a leash. But one of these days, it's going to be unleashed. One of these days, the fire of the wrath of God is going to sweep over this world. And what he said the world's going to be like stubble. Stubble's the dry leftovers. There's no life in it, by the way. There's no fruit in it. All the fruit you cut, the wheat or the rye or whatever it is, the barley, whatever that grain is, you cut that off, you harvest that, and what's left is the stubble. The stubble is useless. The stubble is dry. That's what God sees sinners as. Dead, useless, dry, fruitless, having no fruit. And God said, one of these days, I'm going to blow the wind on them, and the fury of my wrath is going to be fire, and it's going to consume them in a moment. In other words, it'll go up in a moment. One to another, they'll burn. One after another, they'll burn. And he's talking about the destruction of the earth. There'll be swift and sudden destruction upon this earth and the people in it. Amen. Now, look back at my verse, Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 1. I'm not finished, but I'm almost finished. All right? Malachi chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm going to point out another phrase. I want you to notice it with me. For behold, the day cometh. So there's a day coming. That shall burn as an oven. There's a punishment coming. And all the proud, there's some people involved. That's what I want you to notice. There's not only a peculiar day, there's not only a punishment promised, but there is a people involved. And all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. There's a specific people. Now, I want you to notice that these people mentioned, they're the proud and they that do wickedly. Look at verse number 15 of chapter 3. These are the wicked that are talking. They're words that are stout words against God. Chapter 3, verse 15. And now call we the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. So they mention three particular people, two prominent, the proud and the wicked. They say the proud are doing pretty good. They're happy. They're saying the wicked, are those that work wickedness, are doing pretty good. They're prospering. God says they're going to burn. That's what God said about it. They're going to burn. He mentions a particular people, people that are prepared for the burning. They declared that those who are doing wickedness are set up. They're saying they're doing all right. God said, no, they're just kindling for the fire. Amen. They say, well, the proud's pretty happy. Looks like they're doing pretty good. And somebody, James Knox said it. I'm going to use a quote in a minute from James Knox. James Knox said that if you look on the covers of magazines, and I don't advise you looking at many covers on many magazines most places today. Amen. But if you look on the covers of magazines, most of the people on those covers are the proud. They're the crowd that's doing wickedly. They're the drunkard crowd. They're the rocking crowd. They're the worldly crowd. They're the whoremongering crowd. They're the wicked crowd that looks like they're doing pretty good. God said, they're going to burn. Just like all those magazines are going to burn, so are those people whose pictures are on the covers of most of those magazines. They think they're doing good, but they don't know God. They've thumbed their nose at God. They've turned a deaf ear to God. One day God said, you're going to hear me. You're going to see me. You're going to know me. But it's going to be too late. There's coming judgment on them. All right. Now, let me read you a quote. This is a little bit lengthy, but I believe you'll get some good out of it. That I got out of James Knox's book, A Commentary on Malachi. I've read, I've quoted from him before. This is from page number 243 to 244. Matter of fact, when I was studying in it earlier, this quote is not actually dealing with this phrase in particular. It's dealing with Malachi 3:15. They are set up, they that do wicked or they that work wickedness are set up, is the first part of his phrase here. And he uses this idea. And when I say it, some of us are old enough to remember what he's talking about. We know the people he's talking about here. He doesn't name any names, but he mentions circumstances, and we know about these circumstances. Others don't know about it, but it'll still help us to hear what he's got to say. Listen to this. Here's a quote. They that work wickedness are set up. Watch as daddy bootlegs liquor during the days of prohibition and uses the vast wealth obtained thereby to elbow his way into the echelons of national power. Watch as Sonny carelessly wrecks his Navy vessel and then gets a medal for pulling men out of the water. Watch as Sonny gets a prize for writing a book that he did not write. Watch as Sonny wins an election through illegal means as Daddy calls in favors owed him by his bootlegging buddies. Watch as Sonny sits in the most powerful office in the world, wed to a well-connected mistress chosen for political advantage. Watch as Sonny commits adultery with one woman after another. If you are a God-denying fool who lives for the moment, you can stop right there and say, look, see the proof. They that work wickedness are set up. But he continues on. Listen to this. But you cannot stop. Time rolls on. Watch as Sonny rounds the bend in Dallas. Watch as the men who set him up bring him down. Watch as the devil who gave him the world drags his terrified soul into the flames of hell and torment. Stand in Arlington, my friend. Look carefully at the monument of a fallen hero of hedonists and those who long for temporary exaltation. There lie the bones of a man who had it all and lost it all in a moment. An eternal flame marks the grave. What a cruel joke. So you want money, power, fame, women, and dominion? The bootlegger's boy had it all. Now all he wants is one drop of water. That's powerful, isn't it? I know who he's talking about. I know what he's talking about there. I know the story, and most of you do probably. If you don't, that's fine. But he's telling a story that happens. It could be anybody. It happens over and over and over that men cash in this world system. And it seems like the way to advance is to live ungodly and go against the Bible. Amen. It seems like that's how they build their empire. But all of a sudden you watch long enough and you'll see the rug pulled out from under them. And that empire will crumble and they'll lose their family and they'll lose their health. And they'll lose everything that they have that they thought they had it all. But they'll lose it all in a moment. Amen. Well, I'm warning. This is my message. I'm warning that God has a day picked out when He's going to unleash the fury of His judgment. God has a punishment picked out that He's going to burn and destroy those who boast and mock at their sin. And God has a people picked out. Amen. He's got a people picked out that He's going to unleash that judgment on. And those are sinners who are in darkness and choose never to come to the light because their deeds are evil and they love darkness rather than light. Amen. Amen. Now, one last thing to notice, verse 1 of chapter 4, and I'm done. I'll be done with this. Notice the last phrase. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, here's my phrase, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Jesus is the root of David. He's the branch of David. If you don't have the root and the branch, you have no Savior. He's talking about not only they're going to burn up in this life, but there's going to come a judgment that's going to burn them in eternity. Amen. But I believe it carries this. That's a symbolic thing, and we can see it there. But I believe there's more than just symbolism. I believe that phrase, and by the way, I read in commentaries, they said that's a bad translation because stubble does not have branches. It said branches belong on trees. Well, stubble has roots. And before it was stubble, before the top was cut off, it could have had branches. Right? And here's what God's saying in that. And it's what I believe that phrase, neither root nor branch, is actually a proverbial phrase that is saying, God said, when I wipe them out, it's going to be such an extensive doing that there'll be nothing left to grow. There'll be nothing left to help. There'll be nothing left to rebuild. It'll be totally destroyed when I'm done with it. I believe that's what He's saying. Now, think about this. The destruction that's coming upon sinners that I just read to you about. And then after that, hell as well. I'm telling you, we ought to be trying our best to tell sinners about the judgment that's coming and about the fact that God wants to save sinners and is willing right now to save sinners. That day's not come, that day of judgment, but it is coming. I don't know when it is, but today, while you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That's what the Bible says over and over again. One day the door will be shut and it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. As we come, get a song ready. If you need to come, you do business with the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege to stand and proclaim the Word of God, to preach and to see again Malachi. There's a warning for sinners. Lord, what grace, what mercy that You'd still be warning sinners this late in the game, as they say, this late in the day. many have heard many times. And they've not heeded and they've turned their ear from the truth. Many have. And yet, Lord, in mercy, You're still sounding out the warning. I want to thank You, Lord. I want to thank You that You're still throwing out the lifeline. I want to thank You, Lord, that You're still shining out the light of the glorious gospel. That whosoever will, let him come. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Oh, Lord, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit's still drawing sinners. I'm glad that the saints of God still have a burden. Not as we should, but we do have some burden for sinners. God, I pray You'd draw them even now. Father, I pray You'd help somebody to call on You. To turn from their darkness to the light of God. Father, I pray that You'd save them and change them. Father, I pray for the saint. Dear God, give us a burden. Give us a recognition that we need to be busy because time is literally running out. We might accomplish Your work and Your will. You'd get glory, Lord. We ask that You'll have Your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While we sing, would you come do business with the Lord?